songs today highlight the magnitude, the great grace of God, how it answers the ills that face our culture. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts 17. While you're turning there, I want to do something. I'm concerned that this sign-up sheet may become one of those out of sight, out of mind things. Okay? Norman, would you take this and head over there to Vera and drop it off there? And let's give you an opportunity to sign up just while we're introducing the topic today, so that we can get as many names. Here's a dilemma that we're facing with this garage sale. Karen and I had intended to be here for the setup times in the evenings, and still will be, and then just be here all day Saturday. We typically try to do that, these garage sales. Clifton and Joanna are coming through Saturday on their way to Alaska. And that is going to put a real bind on my wife. I can tell you that right now. That's the last time she'll get to spend with Joanna and the babies. And so I need you to step up. My promise to you is that Karen and I will be here as much as we possibly can for this garage sale this weekend. But I really would appreciate you stepping up, because I know this much about her. If she looks and sees blanks in that area where there ought to be people working, she's going to be constrained. Try to fill that. So if you can bless her if you want to, and bless all of us and one another, if you'll step up and fill in. And by the way, if you help on Thursday night, it doesn't mean you can't help Saturday for this part of the garage sale. You look at your schedule, you look at those opportunities, you plug in as much as you can, as you have the liberty to do so. Now, I realize what we're studying, I'm throwing some terminology at you, some vocabulary, some ideas that maybe you've not thought through, you haven't heard the language. And I realize that it may make it difficult. I mean, I'm even aware, as I've talked to some folks, said, you know, my child said I didn't understand what he was talking about, and I don't want that to happen. And I do commend to you our media ministry efforts. You can go back and watch these messages again on our YouTube channel, because the topic is not easy. The language is not familiar. But the danger is beyond what I have a vocabulary to use to communicate to you. Wise people in this culture are saying, this is about to overtake us. My brother Tom Askell received a phone call from a prominent pastor. If I named him, you would know him, who opposed Tom on some of these matters back at the convention in 2019 and coming out of that, and has written publicly rebuking Tom. He called him, said, I need to repent to you and ask you to forgive me. I did not realize how pernicious this is. I did not realize how pervasive this is. He said, I promise you, I'm in common cause with you to see this stop before it overtakes the Southern Baptist Convention. And I promise you, I will not speak against you on this again. People are waking up to what's happening. That's all I'm trying to do is sound the alarm to you. I'm trying to be a faithful watchman on the wall, saying the enemies are at the gate. The barbarians have come through the gate. They're teaching in our seminaries. The culture is eaten up with this. Everything you see happening in the streets of America is being fomented because of these godless ideologies. Acts 17. I want to ask you to stand with me if you would. Follow along as I read verses 22 to 31. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." What have we just read together? The inerrant, infallible, all-sufficient Word of God. And I pray that as we go through this study, we place layer upon layer, that you will realize that it is because the watchmen on the walls in evangelicalism have neglected to emphasize and act upon the sufficiency of Scripture that we find ourselves facing this deadly dilemma that we face today, inside and outside our churches, inside and outside our denomination. Thank you. Please be seated. I hope you're seeing by now that when we started this series, we looked at Genesis 3 and pointed out to you that it is the father of lies, the devil himself, the first accuser, the first questioner, the first one to cast a pall over the Word of God. And did God indeed say, it is none other than Satan himself who drives this agenda. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you simply turn on the news at night, that's what you're seeing happen in the streets of America. That's obvious. It is the more subtle stealing, killing, and destroying that we need to pay attention to as well. The devil himself is behind all of this. We talked about Marxism. Marxism is a philosophy of the devil. It might as well have been belched out of hell itself. It is anti-God. We looked then at cultural Marxism, which is the manifestation of Marxism in this country. Because you see, classical Marxism will not play here. Classical Marxism, while it pits this against that, was based on economics. And you know as well as I do that this nation's poor are the envy of the middle class of the world. People break into our country to get an opportunity to live in America. And so classical Marxisms will not fly here because of that. Cultural Marxism is the manifestation. And an enemy has been found, the white man. The white man is the enemy. He's the reason for all the problems. Women, people of color, people who are not, quote, heteronormative, in other words, the people who are homosexuals and lesbians and transgenders, All of these classes of people are the oppressed. And so we began looking last week at how that's been taught and how it's playing out, hoping that you'll understand. And I realize I threw at you a term, critical race theory. Some of you probably never heard of that before. Intersectionality, never heard of it before. Yet that's the language being used to push the agenda. And so last week, we gave you a definition of critical race theory. I'm going to give it to you again. It's a movement by a collection of activists and scholars interested in studying and transforming. And that's critical. They're not just observing. They want to bring down Western civilization because they see it as a problem. Transforming the relationship among race, racism, and power. It not only tries to understand our social situation, but to change it. It sets out not only to ascertain how society organizes itself along racial lines and hierarchies, but to transform it, as they would say, for the better. If you have a child, a relative who's gone to college in the last 20 years, they have been exposed to this. And you may even be dealing in your home right now, or dealing with relatives right now who are, quote, woke, who look at you like there's something wrong with you because you don't get it. You're not aware of how racist you are, how racist America is, how horrible our founding days were, how we are not exceptional in a good way. You may be dealing with some of that in your own family or your neighbors or co-workers. CRT, as it's shortened, assumes that racism is ingrained in the fabric and system of the American society. Our former president, Barack Obama, who's imbibed CRT in a terminal way, famously said, "You did not build it." What he was saying was that America was built on the backs of slaves, of the oppressed. You see, you don't need to find an individual racist. CRT says it's the system. It's institutionalized. So you hear terms like systemic racism. Now some people will get confused and they'll recognize the word and they'll say systematic racism. It's not systematic racism that's alleged. It's systemic. In other words, it's woven into the very system. That as long as America exists as it exists now, it will be a racist nation. That's what they allege. And you and I will be racist. So CRT asserts that existing power structures are based on white privilege and white supremacy. You see, I grew up in the day when the white supremacists were the guys with the hoods. The white hoods, the white capes, right? Obvious. Well, that's morphed. By CRT's language, I'm a white supremacist. By CRT's language, I have white privilege that I don't even know about. And it's so woven into me and bred into me that I am dull to it, and I flex my white privilege, that even when I want to reach out to a person of color, even when I want to bless a person of color, it is to gain some more white privilege. That's the argument made by critical race theorists. It assumes that people of color are inherently oppressed and marginalized by power structures that are rooted in white privilege and white supremacy. And the desire is to change that, to bring down the structure. So I gave you last week Neil Shinvey's 7 tenets of critical race theory. I'm not going to rehash this, but just real quickly. Number 1, racism is a normal part of American life. Number 2, that racial advantage propels self-interest, power, privilege of the dominant group. 3, CRT gives voice to the unique perspectives and lived experiences of people of color. So a person of color, their lived experience is more important than my and your objective truth. Tenet four, CRT recognizes interest conversions. In other words, what I said a while ago, that when you find a white person, white supremacist like myself, acting as if he wants to help people of color, it's to advance something for me. You see what this does? If you buy this as a person of color, as if you buy that you are oppressed, then even when someone reaches out a friendly gesture to you, you're suspect of it. Because there's some hidden agenda there that they're trying to push to advance themselves. Revisionist history is number five. We need to go back and reevaluate American history. What we've been told about it is not true. It's not as glorious. It's not a city on a hill. So history has to be revisited, rewritten. Six, racism is a means by which society allocates privilege and status. Seven, because of these things, CRT denies some stuff. It denies colorblindness. So if you buy into the dream that Martin Luther King Jr. had, that there'll come a day when a person will be known not by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character, you have bought into white privilege and white supremacy. To say that you are colorblind or blind to someone's color, in other words, you don't see them and treat them as someone who is different from you. You diminish them. CRT, that you don't have to be an individual racist, be a part of the systemic racism. CRT also says you cannot just fight racism. If you're going to embrace the reality of this, you have to pay attention to sexism. In other words, men who keep women down. Homophobia, the idea that you would look upon the LGBTQ plus community as perverse. You need to stop doing that, and we're going to be looking at some of this. And then the economic exploitation. You ought to be looking for a system, that is socialism, which becomes communism, where the playing field is leveled. So capitalism is bad, according to CRT. Even though capitalism best fits the scripture's admonition, you want to eat? Work. Work all you can. Save all you can so you can give away all you can. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Capitalism is bad. So there's just a rehash of the seven tenets. And we looked at intersectionality last week, real quickly. It describes the way that different types of discrimination overlap in a marginalized or oppressed person's experience. So, example, a black man is oppressed. A black woman is more oppressed. There's two intersections there, black and female. A black lesbian woman, there's three intersections there, increasingly oppressed. And a black lesbian woman who's undergoing a transgender process is even more oppressed. And so these folks who have more intersecting oppressions should be the ones looked at as the authorities. They're the ones we ought to be looking to. In other words, if we were going to follow this agenda, folks, then what I would do is I would plan a time for us to have a Q&A and invite in a female person of color who is a lesbian who is thinking about having a transgender reassignment surgery. And we would sit and say, tell us what it's like to be you. That's what's being pushed. You say, Pastor, nobody's bought this, have they? Oh, yes. I'll remind you, at the Southern Baptist Convention in Birmingham, Alabama, a former president of the convention said on one of the panels, I just want to say today that my white brothers need to sit down and shut up and listen to our colored brothers, sisters. I told you last week that that idea of intersectionality approached that way is called standpoint epistemology, that person from that many oppressed groups has more to say than anybody else in the culture because of the standpoint. They know more. Their experience means they know more of value. Therefore, when you talk about things that are sort of givens, like math, science, engineering, these folks say, no, that's all the white man's stuff. That needs to all be reevaluated. And you don't need to penalize somebody if they decide that 2 + 2 is not 4. Now you see where this goes, folks. If 2 + 2 is not 4, I don't want a person that thinks that. Joe, would you want a guy doing that, laying down stress con stuff? I mean, what's the measure? It's absurd. Yet it's the absurdity that is considered genius in this day. So there are 8 big reasons James Lindsay, who is not a believer, this is what fascinates me. This is an example of common grace. James Lindsay, who has spoken out against this and has found himself in the cancel culture, they're trying to cancel him out. He says there are 8 big reasons critical race theory is terrible for dealing with racism. I'll read them real quickly to you and we're going to move on. First, CRT believes racism is present in every aspect of life, every relationship, every interaction, and therefore has its advocates look for it everywhere. That's the thing. See, if you've noticed in the last 5 years, 5, 10 years, you say something, well, that's racist. That's not... Why is that? CRT. Second, CRT relies upon interest convergence. White people only give black people opportunities and freedoms when it is also in their own interest, and therefore doesn't trust any attempt to make racism better. Any attempt to reach out a hand is suspect. You see, there is no, you'll hear people talking about racial reconciliation. CRT and intersectionality advocates do not want racial reconciliation. They want the tables turned. They want to become the dominant ones. They want to try being the oppressors for a while and oppressing others. There is no reconciliation with this group. That's why it's against the gospel. Third, CRT is against free societies and wants to dismantle them and replace them with something in its advocates' control. The United Nations one world government mentality is pushing this because America stands in the way of a one world government. Fourth, CRT only treats race issues as social constructed groups. So socially constructed groups. So they're no individuals. You lose individualism. Does that sound like anything familiar to you? If you know anything about communism, Marxism, it's the collective. It's the collective. The individual surrenders himself for the good of the collective. 5, CRT believes science, reason, and evidence are a white way of knowing, and that storytelling and lived experience is a black alternative, which hurts everyone, especially black people. So you've heard through the years, it's a black thing. It's a black thing. You wouldn't understand. You seen that? That's where this comes from. But you need to get up in the morning and make your bed and get off to work and be a responsible contributing person in society. That's white. Six, CRT rejects all potential alternatives like color blindness as forms of racism, making itself the only allowable game in town. And James Lindsay, not a believer, says, and this is totalitarianism. C, 7, CRT acts like anyone who disagrees with it must do so for racist and white supremacist reasons, even if those people are black, which is also totalitarianism. So, Bodie Balcom, a wonderful, godly man, black man, he's a traitor. They see him as a traitor. So you don't have a black soul. You can't reason. There's no sitting down and reasoning together with folks like this, because they've been taught that anyone who attempts to reason with you is simply trying to push his white privilege on you. I've told you that some of the conversations we've had, I've talked to some people, and they just will look at you and go, wow, you're so eaten up with white privilege, you don't even realize it. 8. CRT cannot be satisfied, so it becomes a kind of activist black hole that threatens to destroy everything it is introduced into. There is no satisfying. You never do enough. That's why if you're paying attention, you'll know that the goalposts keep moving. So one black congresswoman said, we need to pay every descendant of slaves in this country $151 million. Now notice, there was no mention of Native Americans, who, as I understand my history, were here first. Another black congresswoman said, we need to have free college for all descendants of slaves for the next 200 years. And it'd be something different. It's never enough. There is no satisfying. There is no redeeming this, no redemption of this. So it's my assertion that critical race theory, intersectionality, are machinations designed to take down Western civilization, which make it completely incompatible with the gospel. Because you see, one of the reasons you want to get to Western civilization is you want to get to the harbinger of evangelical Christianity. I will grant that American culture as it stands right now is not very Christian. It's wicked. But the underpinnings of it were a Judeo-Christian worldview. That is our birth and our birthright. And the desire of Marxists is to take it down. And I want to suggest to you today that this is so because it assaults us as people made in the image of God. It denies the notion of the universality of sin. And it denies the idea that in the gospel transformation can make one new humanity out of whoever's saved. CRT has been described as a tool, an analytical tool. We're getting our house painted, and Josh was painting yesterday, and we were painting doors, and when you paint the doors, you've got to keep the doors open. Of course, when you have the front door and the back door open painting them, you know what happens. The flies come in from everywhere. And so we were killing a lot of flies yesterday. Now, I was using a fly swatter, but suppose I said to you, I've heard that a hammer is a tremendous tool to get things done. And I began to swat at those flies. Now, first of all, I've significantly reduced my area to kill a fly with. Fly swatter, you got about that much. Hammer, you got about that much. And I might use that as a tool. It's my tool. But you know good and well that whatever I accomplish, the damage will be greater than anything I accomplish. That's what CRT is. So I want to suggest to you quickly today. All people are created in God's image. Our text shows us that, and I'll see it in a minute. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. In the gospel, we've looked at Ephesians 2. We looked at Galatians 3. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you're all one in Christ. CRT, intersectionality, denies all of those. It denies the gospel. Let's look at our text real quickly in the moments that remain. First of all, we're taught in verses 22 and 23 how to speak to devotees of a new religion. And that's what this is, by the way. CRT is a religion. It's a devilish religion. Paul observed, he did not go after them to put them down. You see, there are true believers in the movement, but there are many followers. And it's the followers that we want to try to rescue. You'd love to rescue the true believers. They're more difficult. But the followers who simply have bought into this. Paul said, I perceive you're religious in every way. He said, you've even got this unknown God. I want to introduce you. This God that you don't know, I want to tell you who he is. There's a winsome way to speak with somebody who's imbibed. We'll use the short term, who is woke. That's what they say. Oh, you're woke. You and I are not woke if we hadn't bought this. So if you have sons and daughters who are woke, if you have relatives who are woke, if you have neighbors who are woke, co-workers, we approach them from the standpoint of recognizing that they are troubled. No, they're not. We're not talking about troubled people. We're talking about that they've got some concerns. And their concerns are real. It is a real concern, folks. I do not know, as a white man, what it's like to be driving around and be pulled over by a policeman like some of my friends are who are black. I don't know that. Recognize that they have concerns and offer to meet them at the point of their concerns with solutions. So we begin, secondly, to show the common things we hold together. This is where you've got to tear down CRT, which wants to divide, divide, divide. No, we come with common realities. Secondly, we share a common creator. Verses 24 and 25. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by hand, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. We are created by the same God. You could line up people of color across this auditorium, people of different backgrounds. And you could take a pinprick and prick every one of them in the forefinger. You know what you're going to find? Red blood. You couldn't tell the difference of where that blood came from. The blood type would be the only thing to be different about it. We have a common creator. We have to reestablish the fact that God made the world and everything in it. You may understand why it's so important for liberals to deny that the first 11 chapters of Genesis are historical. If they can remove the historicity of creation, they can have a playground to play in with an awful lot of mischief. You and I must assert and reestablish God is the creator of the world and everything in it. And we share that common creator. God made you, he made me. You're made in his image, I'm made in his image. We are made with a soul that will never die. It cannot be denied that there have been a season in this country when white preachers spoke in terms of black people not having souls. That is utterly wicked. We must assert that we are creatures made in the image of God. That the most stubborn, most offensive, most difficult to get along with human being you know is a creature made in the image of God. And we assert that. And we stand on that. We have a common creator. Third, we have a common ancestry. 26 to 29. He made from one man every nation of mankind. We all trace back to Adam and Eve. All of us have the same first father, first mother. White supremacists have been awful about treating black people, people of color, as if they're some sort of subhuman species. That is utterly wicked. We all share the same parentage, the same lineage. Plus, we live under not only the sovereign creative power of God, the sovereign providence of God. He's determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. He placed us where we were. He placed our ancestors where they were. We've got to embrace this. And rather than people seeing it as some sort of cruel cosmic joke by the white man, to realize God has a plan and a purpose. And here's the purpose: that they should seek God and feel their way toward Him and find Him. Say to people of color, we're going to break this down with the groups in the coming weeks. Where you are doesn't matter to me. Okay? It's where you can be. I want to introduce you to that. You can be forgiven. You can be healed. You can be strengthened. You can come to feel as a contributing, important part of society. I can introduce you to a family of faith where you'll be loved and received. You see, find Him, know the Lord. Paul even cites some of their pagan teachings, for we are indeed His offspring. He found a connecting point with them. Yes, you have been mistreated. Yes, people of color in this country have been mistreated. There's no denying that. But that's not right. And we don't have to continue to live that way. You and I can come together and make a difference for the cause of Christ. And so we can demonstrate that we have this common heritage. Fourth, we can share a common problem. See, here's the problem. As one fellow wrote, the problem is sin, not skin. The solution is grace, not race. We share a common problem. All have sinned and come to the glory of God. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm at my best as a sinner when I'm repenting to you for having sinned against you. When I'm forgiving you for you having sinned against me. That's when we're at our best. That's when we shine the gospel forth. So we find out that we have a common problem. We do have problems. And your problem with me may have to do with my sin. I need to repent to you of my sin. But if you've been taught that your problem with me is the color of my skin, then we're back to the previous point. God is the one who set that, not you and me. And He did it for a purpose, for a reason. Because we have a common problem, we need the same solution, finally. Our hope is in a common solution. You see, He's commanded all men everywhere to repent. That's pretty universal. But He's also fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. Not by Marxism, power dynamics, but in righteousness, a righteous rule, a standard. The Ten Commandments, the moral law of God summarized in the Ten Commandments. He will hold that standard up and He will judge the whole world. The question will be, who has met these commandments? And the answer is only one has met these commandments. His name is Jesus. He died and rose again. And I either need to find my standing in God, in Jesus' perfect obedience to the law of God, or I will not stand. I will fall at the judgment and be cast into hell. And that is true of me. That is true of you. It doesn't matter what skin color you have. Doesn't matter what your heritage is. Doesn't matter whether it was good, whether it was bad. At the cross, the ground is level. And if we will repent of our sins and find and receive the solution God has made available to sinners, we can be saved. He raised Jesus from the dead. There's not a problem you face in life, not a problem I face in life, that is greater, a greater challenge than overcoming death. The gospel answers every concern. The gospel exposes the lies. Jesus said in John 10:10, I want this burned into your mind. The thief comes only to kill, steal, destroy. But I have come that they might have life. And this Jesus who taught that in John 10:10 went on to pray in John 17, Father, make them one as I am one. CRT says we can never be one. The gospel says we will absolutely be one if we come to receive God's offer of grace in Jesus Christ. My brother makes the observation that Orthodox Christians who have embraced CRT, intersectionality, are dangerously naive. That's the best thing you can say about them. Dangerously naive. Brothers and sisters, we have a battle on our hands. And the folks fighting it with us are not going to fight fair. But the weapons of our warfare, while they're not carnal, they are mighty. I want you to hear how someone, he's one of the leading voices in critical race theory. Time magazine said one of the top 100 thinkers. Here's how he described the life of this Amy Coney Barrett. Recognize that name? Latest Supreme Court nominee. And their family, they adopted 2 children from Haiti. Listen to how a CRT advocate describes this. Some white colonizers, colonies, the colonial, adopted black children. They civilized these savage children in the superior ways of white people while using them as props in their lifelong pictures of denial, while cutting the biological parents of these children out of the picture of humanity. See, you and I would rejoice. We have a vested interest in Haiti. We would rejoice when Haitian orphans, otherwise abandoned, are adopted and brought into this country. Not so, CRT. That's just white colonizers assuaging their guilt. This is the battle. They will not fight fair. But we stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. And we wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when it is wielded by grace and the power of the Spirit, it pierces to the very deepest portions of a person's being. And salvation can come to the hardest heart. Next week, God willing, we'll begin to look at the groups. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, progressive feminists, the LGBTQ crowd, Islam. And then within our own ranks, evangelical and Southern Baptist Convention social justice warriors. Pray that God will help us to understand. Help us to see. I'm just praying, dear God, help us to see and to know how to do and be more committed to the gospel than ever before and believe that God will use that to rescue the perishing, those who are being led away to the slaughter of Marxism, socialism, communism. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, we bow before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the day. Thank you for the patience of these folks hanging in here, hearing me out. And I pray more than that, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is opening our eyes, helping us to see and understand, equipping us for a battle that very honestly